traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
You could say you're ready for the pressure. You could say you're ready for it. But when you're in that moment, when Jake Paul is across the ring from you and you see me, I'm a killer.
Hey, Logan.
That's okay. I'll.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Do you want us to kick it off? You join us? I mean, dude, I'm confident. I did 300 so shows here.
Well, Mike, you always wanted to have a podcast.
No, that's not.
Well, you always wanted to have a podcast, Mike.
My name's not
Take
Smike.
Take it away.
Are you going to join us later or no?
Take it away, Mark.
All right, fair enough. I'll listen to what the boss says. Welcome back to Impulsive, the world's number one podcast.
No.
Thanks for listening, subscribing.
No.
What are you filming, bro?
What?
What are you filming?
Why are you so flustered?
I don't know.
You're all flawed. You can tell you're a flusher. Your hair looks like wet ramen noodles.
Whatever.
Are you flexing your abs? I think you are.
Do you have abs?
You were. You were.
Are we good? Can we start with that Logan part? It's a fucking nightmare. This brother of yours needs a fucking ass whooping, and there's only one person that could do it. It's his brother.
Or KSI.
All right, welcome back to Impulsive, the world's number one podcast. Thank you so much for listening, subscribing, and viewing on YouTube and whatever else you do and however else you ingest the program. Logan Paul is on a continuous, eternal bender that will not end. He's outside right now taking pictures of a woman in the parking lot with a Polaroid camera.
You couldn't have described it better.
I'm joined here with George Janko, the co-host, of course, and Jake Paul for his return visit to the show. Logan will be joining us shortly, but we wanted to kick things off in for time.
Well, mainly because the podcast was at 8 p.m. and it's 9:20.
9:20.
So I just feel disrespected.
I understand that. Welcome back to the show.
I'm also doing if you want to follow me on TikTok, I'm doing a exposing video of.
Oh, this was for TikTok?
I'm doing an exposing video of what it's like to be a guest on Impulsive.
And you love it.
We've been a little bit behind today. Welcome back to the show, Jake. So Jake is in training camp once again for another fight, which is on December 18th.
Yeah, it's technically fight week when they're watching this.
Oh, got
Let's
it.
Go.
Correct.
So way to do our job for us.
December 18th. So this week you're going
to
be fighting.
See what I'm saying? It's terrible to be on this show as a guest.
You're fighting a man by the name of Tommy Fury, Tyson Fury's little brother. Everybody once again is going to be talking about it. Do you think I'm going to start off with a little bit of a banger here? Do you think that you are finally surpassed?
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Logan Paul in terms of global importance.
Oh, wow.
Damn.
That's a big one to
And I like
sort
how
you
asked that when
for.
He wasn't here.
Yeah. Thank you for asking, by the way, when he's not here.
You fucking pussy.
Well, because no, and we'll tell him that we asked it, but I mean, the kid's been on a pretty historic bender taking pictures of women in parking lots. He's not fighting, he's not making YouTube. I mean, his clout's at all-time low. Would you say that you know, and yours is yours?
I'm definitely
gone.
Carrying the weight of the Paul family for sure. This, nah, I mean, but this is sort of my year. Like, it is what it is. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, like the answer is yeah, for sure. I mean, I'm just going back to back with these super big promotions and billboards and shit all over cities and commercials on TV. I mean, the answer is yeah. I'm not trying to be like a dick or anything.
No. I was being sarcastic.
The beautiful thing is that no matter what each one of us does, it benefits the other. So like he's benefiting off of my press and I benefit off of his press and his accomplishments. And before we were in competition. But now I think we both look at it as like, oh, that's a win for him. That's a win for me, which is beautiful.
That's healthy.
It's yeah. very healthy.
And that's the way he's always
now,
looked
at
it.
Now here's a second question.
Yeah, go ahead, brother.
If you guys boxed, who would win?
Dude.
Are you really
People ask us all the time. And the answer stays the same, man. It's me. The kid hasn't been in camp in like.
All right, maybe we should wait.
Is it bad to talk this much? We're not talking shit though.
I know that, but we should wait for.
But I would tell him. I would tell. He knows that I would say this. And by the way, I think by now he would admit, like, yo, this kid is pretty.
I think he thinks he'll smoke you, bro.
You think he still has the big brother complex?
I think he thinks that when he's smoking marijuana.
Nah, dude, just the other day, he was just sitting there. We were both, like, looking at your box, and he's like.
I don't think you're being serious.
No, I'm being so. Look at my eyes.
But that's the fight that people want to see, I guess, right? That's the, like, ultimate crescendo of where this is all leading is Jake Paul versus Logan Paul. It's never been done before. Brothers fight in history. I know we talk about it a lot.
Don't break our shit.
But I would, your podcast is already fucking broken. Check out my TikTok to see all the behind the scenes of this bullshit operation they're running around here. And this is my property.
It's your property.
This is my property. You guys are.
They're vandalizing it outside.
You guys are terrible tenants. I'm going to kick all of you out.
Do you think that is still the fight that people really want to see? Do you think it's not you and someone else? For example, I was reading on Twitter today. Bryce Hall.
Bro, don't stop. Stop. Next thing, bro.
Oh, my man said next.
We're not going into that type of shit here, bro. There's levels to this shit, and I passed that level a long time ago, and I'm not going down there. I'm not going down the LA route, bro.
Got it.
My man, he says not up for the conversation.
Yeah, sorry. Next thing.
All right. So I asked you this question every show. So Tommy Fury, I want to jump into this. This is your first opponent who is an actual boxer. You are fighting an actual boxer who has been in the ring, has fought other boxers, has proven himself to at least be capable in that space. Would you agree with that?
That's yeah, 7-0, undefeated. Yep. I think 5 KOs has knocked people out. Five of them.
Do you consider this to be, you know, outside of the terminology of him being a boxer, do you consider this to be your biggest challenge yet?
I think so. I think just the magnitude of how big of a fight this is going to be and him training with his brother, obviously, who's the heavyweight champion of the world, the tips and things he must be learning, you know, he's going to improve rapidly and there's a lot on the line. And I know that both camps are putting everything into this fight because it's two young prospects, same age, basically same height, same weight, same reach, roughly the same record. And we're both, you know, influencers or celebrities in our own regards. And because of that, I think this is just a historic fight and definitely the biggest challenge for sure. And he's a pro boxer.
Yeah.
Right? He's a pro boxer. So that's what everyone's been wanting to see is, oh, fight a real boxer.
I've said it myself. I mean, I stopped with the major criticism maybe probably two fights back because you started fighting people who had actual in-ring experience and were people that had proven themselves in a combat sports arena. But now this is a real boxer. Do you think it hurts him or helps him to have Tyson in his corner and kind of in his camp?
Yeah. So, I mean, I've thought about this. And, you know, he says he can handle the pressure because his family's putting a lot of pressure on him. His dad, a lot.
They said to remove your last name. How the fuck did you fight?
That was him.
Both of us. If he loses, he has to change his name to Tommy Fumbles. And his parents and his brother said, we'll disown you. Like,
yeah, they said that you can't use our last name.
And then Eddie Hearn, who's from the UK, said, We're going to ship him off to a deserted island. And then KSI said, oh, he's going to crack under pressure. Basically, no one in the UK is supporting this guy. And you could say you're ready for the pressure. You could say you're ready for it. But when you're in that moment, when Jake Paul is across the ring from you and you see me, I'm a fucking killer. I was built for this shit. And when I look him in the eyes and he gets popped with that first jab in the first round, my jabs are like right hands. He's never been hit before, first of all. He's never been in with somebody who wasn't there to lose. All the people he's fought were there to lose. Like, he was about to fight Andy Bishop, 0-15 or some shit. Like, literally a garbage man. I swear to God.
Wait, is he actually?
And, I think he actually is a garbage guy. And
yo, by the way, shout out to all the garbage men watching the episode because they have great
benefits. They make a lot of money.
They make a ton of money. They have great benefits.
But they're not really boxers is what I'm getting at. I'm not making fun of them.
I've been a couple who could go.
That was your joke. Your joke is good.
Your joke is good. Speaking of jokes, did it ever get to you? Because I know deep down, bro, you're a good human being, and you're really, really good at getting into people's heads. There's always I have a conscience, right? I, there's always that thing where I'm like, yeah, I shouldn't say that. It's gonna fuck them up. But you're like, nah, double down on that thought. Do you ever feel like I should cool off on just destroying people mentally online?
Not at all.
All right.
0% chance. These people are my opponents. Have you heard the saying, all is fair in love and war? Guess what? I'm going to war. My life is on the line. You can die in the ring.
Absolutely.
And so I'm doing every little thing I can to win. Mental edge, physical edge. And that's just the way it is. And I know I'm in his head. I know I'm in his head. Like, the shit with his girl that clearly bothers him. Like, he goes silent. Like, it is what it is. All is fair in love and war. And that's why I was saying, I think he's going to crack under pressure, 100%. All of these people in the spotlight, his first real fight against someone who wasn't put in there to lose in front of 20,000 people. It's just different, man. And he, being on the undercard against Anthony Taylor in the last fight, he barely performed. And Anthony's a good fighter. He's a tough kid, but weighs 15 pounds less, is 6 inches shorter. And Tommy Fury couldn't do a single thing to him. And that's the undercard. That's not the main event. There's moments where
that's your fight. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I watched that. Also, I like how you're just picking people that like are in your undercard. Do you only fight people that call you out first?
No. It's been a back and forth. It's sort of been a smorgasbord.
I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah.
I want to revisit that night for a second, because I was with you backstage just before Dave Chappelle came in. And he was having a great time. You had a run-in with Tommy's camp in that back hallway. You had some things to say to him about how his fight had gone that night. How did you, because that was probably, would you say that was the most fired up you guys have both been in the same general area? Did you see anything in him that night that would tell you how he might behave in a heated environment?
Yeah. I saw a little kid who isn't ready for this, for the lights, the cameras, and the action. He was standing in that back hallway waiting for me to get his little moment to shine on camera. He has no idea what he's getting himself involved with. So, and I mean that like deeply. He has no idea. He fucked up by doing this. I'm going to end his career, embarrass him in front of his whole country. And people will see that December 18th. You know,
about that, Ashburn?
Lots of,
hey man, did you go swimming?
Were you in a sauna?
Let me,
how's my physique from the
Puffy Snorlax? So we covered a number of topics. The only ones I really want to bring back up, just so you're aware, is I did ask Jake flat out, have you become the bigger, more talked about Paul brother? Finally.
I think so, Jake. I think you're there. I mean, have you already talked about it? It's a moment, you know, like now I'm the little brother. Like,
no,
he just said this was his year. That's what he said.
Yeah. 2021.
Yeah.
I fought Floyd Mayweather.
What do you mean?
I forgot about that.
Come on. What are we talking about? You did good this year.
I'm just saying, like, it's my year.
I'm being facetious. It is your year, bro. You're fucking massive. You're huge.
But it's not even about that. It's like just everything that's happened in my life. Like, I was taking L's after L's. I was winning in the ring, of course, and shit. But like, so many things behind the scenes in my life were just like all like crazy and bad.
Yeah.
And I just mean that in that sense. I don't mean it just by like success.
I'm being facetious. You've caught like a real good stride. It seems like because of boxing, honestly, all these things that stemmed in your life, your foundation, your investments and everything happened because you were just focused and here and working towards a thing. And then everything else happened to be bonus.
Yep.
It's really good.
I was going to say the same thing. I think there was a lot of people out there who were quick to credit boxing with being the savior of Logan Paul's career. Do you envision boxing or see boxing as being the savior of your own career as well, or even more so?
I think people saying like, oh, this saved this person's career or whatever is the stupidest thing.
Got it.
Because like it makes it seem like there was like an emergency lifeline of like bad shit or whatever.
Well, in your case, I think in a lot of ways there kind of was like but it's like
both Logan and I are geniuses. I'll say that candidly. I don't give a fuck. I used to like not want to call myself that, but I am like
marketing storyteller, creator.
Must be nice, Jake, to the highest degree, Albert Einstein level.
Yes, I actually invented the water
can
bottle.
Can I ask you this? Are you boxing Albert Einstein next? Ladies and gentlemen, today's video is sponsored by SeatGeek. You know him, you love him a lot. Fuck.
You know you love him a lot.
You love SeatGeek. We all do. Live events are finally back, and SeatGeek is the absolute best place to buy tickets. I got the app on my phone. Whether it's football, basketball, baseball, concerts, MMA, festivals, SeatGeek puts tickets from all over the web in one place to make buying simple. And they rate every ticket from 0 to 10 to make sure you're getting a good deal. Green means good and red means bad. I've got a hookup for you guys listening. Use the code LOGAN for $20 off tickets at SeatGeek. That's $20 off your first purchase with promo code LOGAN. Make sure you click the link in the description to download the app. Code LOGAN for $20 off tickets. Back.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
To the program. Dude, Pete Davidson, dressed as you on Saturday Night Live. This happened.
Again?
One time. And pretended to call out Muhammad Ali. Is that on the agenda?
It could be in the playing cards.
What does that fight look like? Like, how does that fight get made exactly?
How does that play out?
It just seems like in the metaverse.
Oh.
Jokes on you. Jokes on you, SNL. Wow. Jake Paul is boxing Muhammad Ali in the metaverse. Get your tics. Wow. December 18th.
Thank you so much.
When you just walked in, we were talking about that backstage encounter between Tommy and Jake post his last fight.
That was so weird. He's such a odd
kid. He's a little kid goofball. Like he's a goofy guy.
He is. He's a goober.
He's trying to play a part. He's trying to be like his brother. He's trying to be a tough guy, and he's just really not.
It's wild to me that you're fighting a Fury. You know, Paul Fury, seeing that hashtag, I'm like, whoa, like how did you, some kid from Ohio, get lumped in with one of the best boxing families in history? Why did you already say this?
No, it's just funny.
You saying how did a kid from Ohio end up fighting one of the greatest fighters? It's like the same thing.
This is how I about Mayweather.
Yeah, but I forgot. Yeah. I forgot about all that.
You guys ever sit around and just be like, man, fuck, we did it, huh? We did it.
I mean, not really though. Not yet.
Yeah, we're so young, Georgie.
Yeah, humble yourself, bro.
Hey, are you going to take a break after this? You've been going really hard.
I think so. I think I'll probably do that for
I think you
sure.
deserve it. Any plans?
I want to go on vacation with Julia, travel the world. I haven't done much. Nothing. You know? I didn't feel like I deserved a vacation, and I haven't really taken one. It's always been like a work vacation for like a week, but like you're still filming content or like doing stuff. Yeah. I really want to take some time off for sure. 100%.
It's been cool to see you grow up, Jake. even in your personal life, watching you as a proud older brother, like, man, I walked in the other day in the kitchen and this kid was writing thank you letters to people who have impacted his life. Handwritten thank you letters. He spent hours writing it to, like, how many people? 20?
Yeah, like 15, 20 people.
Yeah. And I thought that was really cool. I think everyone can learn from that, dude. A lot of people don't see that gratefulness and that appreciation that you show behind the scenes.
I've always tried to, you know, bring people up and be appreciative, because that means the most. You know, if you can't appreciate what you have, then you'll always be chasing something in life that you'll never get.
His growth has been so palpable.
Of his beard? Or
all of it. The beard, the head, horizontally as a human. But no, it's just all of it has been so palpable, dude. Like, it's hard to, you can't ignore it. I mean, I try to take as many opportunities. I was just like a lot of other people, was a Jake Paul, you know, critic in a major way. And honestly, like, I take as many opportunities as I can now. It's every time he makes a move to message him and be like, yo, this was very smart of you. This showed extreme growth.
Can we talk about some of your investments?
Yeah.
Are you allowed to?
I think so.
This is fascinating to me. So this kid started the Anti-Fund, right? It's a
Anti-Fund Venture Fund.
Yep. Anti-Fund Venture Fund. Is it a fun fund?
Yeah, it's a venture fund.
Is it a
venture capital?
Yeah.
I got a tattoo.
What does it say?
Venture.
Wow.
But that was not for venture capital. Do you want more just like my life is a daring or risky undertaking or journey. That's where I got it.
But they fit together.
But that's what venture capital sort of is.
100%. Yeah. 100%. Do you want to explain what venture capital is for people that don't understand?
I'm one of those people.
Or just the roundabout, like it being new companies. Yeah.
How do I explain it in layman's terms? Okay. Everyone knows the company Facebook, right? Mark Zuckerberg was a young guy with an idea, but he didn't have the money to create that idea, because why would he? He was a college student, a broke college student. So he goes off to Jimmy from Anti-Fund Venture Capital Fund, and he sells 5% of Facebook, let's just say. Let's use Peter Thiel, who actually did. I think it was like 5% of Facebook for $10 million. So now he has $10 million to create his idea. And let's just say he sold, you know, 1% or 5% of the company. So now Peter Thiel owns 1% of Facebook for $10 million. And now Mark Zuckerberg has the money he needs to hire people to code, to stay up all night and make his company blossom. Boom, Facebook becomes a $10 trillion, gillion company, whatever the numbers are. Then Peter Thiel then profits off of
And then they move into the next rounds of funding.
Which part of that was the venture capitalist part?
That first part.
Peter Thiel is the venture capital. You give people money for a startup, for an idea that you believe in, and you help them grow it.
Yeah, see, I'm not following. Because if someone gave me money, I'd just buy Pokemon.
and if they had done it when you did it, it would have paid off.
Yeah. So if I gave you money to buy Pokemon cards and I was like, hey, we're 50-50 partners, you can buy all these cards. And when you arbitrage, sell them for more, I'm going to split the profits with you.
You have to spend it on what they tell you. You can't like run over to Magic City Saturday.
You technically can as like a CEO. Yeah. That's why it's like investing is a very meticulous thing. You have to do diligence. You have to trust your instincts. I invest into people that I really believe in, who are smart, who I enjoy conversating with, because there's a million ideas. I'm seeing who's passionate, who understands whatever vertical they're in, and who's gonna really last through the hard times, even if their company, you know, fails and they have to pivot, whatever it might be.
Well, you've been doing great with your investments. Can you say some numbers that, like the other night we were talking about?
Yeah.
That one in particular.
Probably a ton of legality around that shit.
Yeah, I won't say names, but like we invested $250,000 into a metaverse project.
How are you getting the majority of your looks right now? Is it your partners? Like, are they doing the majority of due diligence and active like hunting?
So I've been involved in this space since I was 18. Yep. So I've just known a lot of people before the space got even more popular, like how it is now, where like everyone's doing it. So I've just known some like OGs who have great connections. And same with my partner in the fund, Jeff. And just by talking about it, networking, meeting with different people. And we have a dope thesis too.
It is. It is dope.
When we invest into these hot companies, let's say, like the Facebooks or Alchemy is another one we invest in. Everyone wants to invest because they know the company is going to blow up like crazy. So why it almost becomes the CEO is then asking you, why should we take your money?
Yeah.
Because we're going to make you money guaranteed. So you almost have to pitch yourself back to these CEOs. And our thesis is basically like you have all these people who are giving you a ton of money. But what we bring to the table is marketing, branding, that side of it, consulting, and bridging the gap between Hollywood and the tech community and access to celebrities, influencers, whatever it might be. And I even sometimes spend an hour with the CEOs just going over their branding and be like, yo, I don't like the logo. I don't like your slogan. You need to change your Twitter. You need to change your Instagram. That's something that other investors don't really
get. Well, they can't. And it's, and you know, and like, obviously there's a couple other people in the space that do it, Beast and whoever else, but like that model is so attractive and just, it's mind blowing to me that it didn't pop up sooner. I mean, I talked to your brother about it probably what, 2 years ago and told you that this was something that was going to happen. Like the crossroads between investment and built in marketing via influencer and celebrity. And like, honestly, like as a brand new founder of a company, you're not going to look at 250K the same way as you would look at 250K plus Jake Paul.
Yeah.
You're just not. And so like you have this built in cheat code or thesis or whatever yep. you want to call this IP that you've built. And it's genius. It's very smart. I think people have known for the longest time that he's the creative storyteller and you're the business guy. And it's so funny right now in this exact moment to see those two storylines come to life in such an easy to see way.
Yeah.
Full on through boxing, business, anti-fund, all that stuff, business. Full on head down creative artists. Storytelling. It's nuts. It's like everybody saw it coming, but now it's really happening.
I think we learn a lot from each other too. Absolutely. Like at least I do. Like I see his artistry and I'm like, wow, that's great. You know, I could take some things from that because I'm inspired by him. And I think maybe vice versa as well.
100%, bro. I love our conversations. When I get the privilege of being trapped on a jet with this kid, let's just chop it up because we do have such different lives and yet are both in the same spot, which is so interesting. And we say it all the time, but we really are yin and yang. We're the exact same and the exact opposite. It's fucking weird.
High five.
We didn't.
He said it earlier. I don't know if you had come back yet, but he said that you two propel each other. And you always said that to me. And even at points where you were in deep shit and it was like, there were all these times where like maybe it made sense or people thought it might've made sense for you guys to walk away or spread apart just a little bit. Even you always said it's the dumbest move because we propel each other.
It's a cheat code. It's an amplification, dude. Like especially in an era of social media, like where relevancy is so significant, right? Like you're chasing being relevant or being able to move product or get views or whatever it is. I now have the privilege of kind of being able to like sit back and focus on my work and this project in particular, especially because you're making so much noise.
Yeah,
I don't have to do anything.
And it literally just osmosis.
It's wild. And I got to be honest with you, Jake. It's nice, dude. Selfishly.
he's like kicks his feet up.
I swear to bro, when you're nice. At your fights and your press conference, man, I'll walk in fucking with a Bloody Mary in my hand, hungover yeah. from the night before.
It's pretty hilarious. Just like actually. This.
Yeah, my brother's doing it.
But vice versa, man. Like, look at the Floyd Mayweather fight. I steal his hat. It's one of the most viral moments ever in boxing.
No, but it's another moment.
And then at the fight, they're just recording me in between the rounds.
Yeah.
And Logan was back with his feet kicked up again like this. You know, he was so happy that happened.
But it's cool. 100%. I'm glad we're able to, you know,
yeah,
benefit off of each other. And
I agree. You're going to be fun. A father anytime soon?
Man, I think about this often. I feel like I'm like getting old fast, but I'm not at the same time. Like, but my maturity level, I'm like, I feel like I want to be a dad in the weirdest way.
Well, you got the whole package going. It seems like you guys are really happy. You and Julia are really happy. And she's clearly grounded the shit out of you. And like, you know, that you know, concept of really being locked into a relationship that you feel really good about must be a life-changing situation for you.
It's amazing. It's one of the best things on earth. And I feel lucky to be able to have found my soulmate. And we went through so much shit, just ups and downs and all that. But in the end, we just knew how much we loved each other and like that we just had to figure out a way to make it work because honestly, like, I just don't want to be with anybody else. I've never met someone that's just like my best friend. 100%.
It hits different.
It really is crazy.
And you probably won't. You probably won't, man. Because let me tell you something. I'm on the other side.
The grass ain't green.
I am single and sad and lonely.
And anything else? Any other adjectives?
I have no dick.
Zero.
Dude, no the cock. Fact that you made your eyes water.
I have no good cock.
That's scary.
That's so scary.
Yeah, he's.
You're a socio.
Let's be honest. You're probably not as hard as Jake Paul. But if you're having trouble getting hard, this episode is sponsored by Blue Chew. Say it with us.
Blue Chew.
Blue Chew is making waves and bringing more confidence to the bedroom by offering chewable tablets that can help men get stronger and longer lasting erections. Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in chewable form and at a fraction of the cost. Blue Chew's tablets help men achieve harder, stronger erections to combat all forms of ED. Blue Chew is an online prescription service, so there's no visits to the doctor's office, no awkward conversations, and no waiting in line at the pharmacy, and it ships right to your door in a discreet package. The process is simple. Sign up at BlueChew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription within days. The best part? It's all done online. So if you could benefit from a little extra confidence when it's time to perform, visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information. Here's a special deal for our listeners today. Try Blue Chew free when you use our promo code Logan at checkout. Just pay $5 shipping. That's BlueChew.com. Promo code Logan to receive your first month free. We thank Blue Chew for sponsoring. And let's get back to the motherfucking podcast.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Oh my God.
No, I don't think it's sociopath.
I think a lot of people could take advice from you. I take advice from you, and you know this about relationships. I'm always asking when you and Julia fight, I see it.
Yeah.
How do you make amends? Like, that's where I get stuck in relationships. I get stuck in like the argument and the minutia and the bullshit, and it carries and carries and carries and it compounds. And eventually, I'm like, fuck this.
It's not worth it. I think that's the difference is just knowing deep down that it's worth it to go through the shit. But the thing I told you this the other day, obviously not on a podcast, but when you're in a relationship with someone, it's literally when you love them so much, it's a reflection of all of your insecurities and flaws in the relationship. Like everything that you do wrong or how you treat other people, it's amplified in a relationship. So it's also a great way to grow because you can literally see and pinpoint every little thing where you're like, you're an asshole or you have a temperament here. You have insecurities about yourself in this way.
Yeah. So it's a good way to self-develop.
And so it's honestly helped my growth. And Julie and I have both just committed to growing. And we talk to people like relationship trainers.
Really?
Yeah. 100%.
I just had such a full circle moment right now. And that's why I was smiling when you were saying all that. Cause like, I actually am feeling happy about this. I was just thinking back to the episode that you were on the show back in LA with us when you were having a really hard time. And, you know, we were having, you know, this show where you had basically come to us and we're like, yo, I don't know what I'm fucking doing. And it's just so awesome to be sitting here listening to a lesson from you now. Like, that is such a fucking awesome, full circle moment to just like, to see that growth and to be able to, graph it from one episode to the next, and it makes it honestly makes me feel fucking good inside, man. It's amazing.
Yeah, I think it's a point of this show. There's so much growth and honest, vulnerable moments on it, and for people like us, you know, who are going to be doing this and going to be around for hopefully a while, it's really cool to see that progression. It's really cool to see.
I mean, everyone has their shit, right? Like I was going through a quarter life crisis at the time,
right?
And that's normal. You know, mine just happens to be public and on a fucking podcast and shit. But I'm young, bro. Like I'm still figuring a lot of shit out, you know. But that's one thing I was looking at in our relationship. I was like, okay, I go to the gym every day. I work on my business every day. I work on, you know, all of these projects every single day. But when are we taking the time to work on our relationship?
This fucking kid, dude, I can't. Who are you? What are you talking about?
My God, I love this. You said so many. I didn't want to chime in because you were just on a roll. But you said so many things that were absolutely 100% on the fucking target. You can't have pride in a relationship when you're looking in the mirror. I know what you're saying. When you're like fighting with somebody and then there's a part of you, you're like, all right, I'm gonna put down my sword because regardless of how this goes, regardless, I'm gonna still fucking love you.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna wanna make this work. So the quicker you're like, yo, cut the shit. Let's figure this out. Somebody's wrong here. Let's quietly figure this out. And dude, do you still, be honest, do you still kind of like talk to your boys about like situations with your girl?
Yeah, I think that helps, you know, in the heat of the moment.
Yeah.
What
do you fight in front of people though or no?
I try not to. I think it's only happened once. I think it's only happened once recently. But Julie and I's new sort of metaphor for any time we're upset is to like look at it like boxing, where there's like certain rules and there's things you can't do, can't say, can't treat the person this way. And there's rounds. Let's go back to our corners. Take a deep breath.
Are you serious?
I swear to God.
This is how y'all do it?
Two of his loves and made it one.
What happens if one of you breaks the rules? Like you get deducted 2 points. 2 points?
It's just like an understanding of like, you're in the wrong more, and like now you need to realize you're an asshole.
Damn.
Is there a coach or like a corner team or anything like that?
I guess the coach is, yeah, it's, who's it's the like ref? Our relationship
it's Jack, trainer. It's Jack Reese.
It's Jack Reese. 2 points, man.
It's Jack Reese.
I hope not. That would be bad.
How much, cause whenever we have people from Puerto Rico or that live in Puerto Rico on the show, we ask this question: how has the move to Puerto Rico changed? You may be one of the most blaring cases of Puerto Rico assisting, at least in my eyes. How much has that made the relationship easier? Having just kind of access to each other and none of those distractions or like bullshit from the outside world.
It's the best thing, man. It's one of the best things. Just Puerto Rico in general, man. It's changed my life 110%. Like just being able to focus 100% on yourself. Like, bro, I stopped texting people. I just care about like what I'm doing, and that has literally changed my life because you realize what the stupid shit that doesn't matter. There's so much of it when you're in that world of like Los Angeles and Miami. It's just like it's so fake. It's
a lot
crazy.
Of weight.
Yeah. And you don't. It's easy to say that. It's easy to be like it's so fake, and you hear that every person fucking say that. But then they go right back into it
right.
and like are involved in it and like blah, blah, blah. And by the way, like I enjoy LA. I enjoy Miami, of course. But when you remove yourself from it for an extended period of time, that's when you like truly realize how you can't go back to that. And it's just not a good lifestyle. And that's why my priorities have really just like shifted. But for a relationship, it's amazing. LA is the worst.
It is so toxic. I've explained it to people before that like didn't really understand it. And I said,
bro, I tried to suck his dick.
Well,
whoa.
Can you say that? Well,
so,
on here?
So we talked about, we'll bleep the name, but.
Oh, okay.
She stuck his finger down her throat.
No, you didn't.
And asked him if he could keep a secret. Like, what are we doing?
Which clearly I can't.
You
all.
Know that,
can you
girl.
Keep a secret?
Well, hold on. But
she didn't say it like that. Oh. And he's like, okay, it's either you're looking for your precious or you have no gag.
A way to explain it away from like a certain example is just like, if LA feels like a burning ball of gas is over you at all times.
Like and the sun, you mean?
Yeah.
Like that, well, that's true.
No. And that sun can photosynthesize you. It can make you money. It can build your career. It can grow you. But eventually that ball of gas will burn you up and it will eat you alive. And that's basically the way I explain LA to people, especially in the world that we live in. It's a matter of time before you cannot wade through that toxic sludge anymore. And I guess both of you guys hit that point.
Yeah. And I think there's just always someone else to rub your ego. So like when you're in a fight with someone or your girl, the person you love, you're like, oh, I don't need this because there's going to be a bunch more people and I can go have fun at this party and get fucked up.
I mean, the party scene is well documented there.
I find it very fascinating. Well documented. Watching
people party. It's well documented. Yeah.
So fascinating.
Listen
to your Cheech and Chong. You guys aren't exactly spitting examples of sobriety or fucking selves.
Well, hold on. Well, I smoke weed, but I do it at the end of the day. And then when I'm here in Puerto Rico, because you guys are belligerent. Here's the thing that I find it fascinating, dude. Like, I love how guys are like, dude, I want a wife. I want to find a girl. And then like, boom, boom, boom. And then like the next sloppy hooker they see, they're like, oh, look, I've seen you do it. You're like, she wants love. I go, she wants dick. Ask her. And you did. And she's like, yeah, I just want dick. Like, it literally happened in front of me. I swear to God, this is a true thing. He's like, no, dude, she's different. I go, she's not. Now drop her off back to the street and let's go back home.
That was a hilarious real-time example of the emptiness that I like to pretend doesn't exist.
This is his look. Point the camera to me. When she goes, nah, I just want your dick. I swear. I turn. I'm already looking at him. So this is me and this is him. He goes. I was like, oh, poor guy. Dude.
I thought she was the one,
it's
bro.
It's like you can't search for the one at the club.
If you live in Los Angeles, you shouldn't be in a relationship. And you have more than 100,000 followers, you shouldn't be in a relationship. It's gonna end.
You want a bad bitch that's a good girl? Go to Whole Foods.
No, Erwan.
No. Go to fucking Texas or Oregon or Wisconsin.
What about New York? Nah.
I feel like there's some real good girls in Wisconsin. That's where I probably go search.
100%.
They got Culver's there.
And cheese.
Arizona has some beautiful good girls.
Oh, yeah.
Good, though?
Good girls. No, for real, good girls.
Because I know there's like some, there's a lot. Arizona's got a lot of girls, dude.
There's going to be bad guys.
We used
and
to have nicknames
everywhere.
for like each each of like the cities we would go to.
Oh, no.
Shakespeare, the
Care
beans.
To elaborate on one of them?
Yeah, if the PR team does, I mean, I don't think it's bad to cut. I don't think we have to. Yeah,
well,
to
whoa.
Our PR team.
Okay, let me see if I can remember these. Here, let me pull it up. And
cut it out!
No, yeah, so it's like, I think it was the Arizona Eaters.
Los Angeles fat chicks.
The Los Angeles Zombies. Like just
because drugs and shit.
I feel like New York Zombies.
The Vegas Vultures.
Oh, shit. Like sports teams.
Jesus. New York? New York?
I can't believe this is a thing.
I forget. The there was New York and like Miami Monsters.
Monsters.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I would have said LA Cannibals and I would have had New York as the Zombies. New York, I just can't keep up with the hours there. They go till sunrise.
I don't get it.
It's been pretty wild in New York.
And
lately.
They're up. They get up. 8 o'clock, they're in the gym. How the fuck are you doing
that?
Yeah,
it's New York. It's the East Coast lifestyle.
Actually think it's cocaine.
Oh, that's cocaine. That's what I meant to say. I would
tend to agree with Logan.
Yeah, it is. It's
you ever considered doing the hard crack?
Just a soft one.
I have considered it.
Dude, you need to get out there.
You need to do hard crack.
Hey, do we need subtitles for that? What the fuck did he just say?
No, you need to get out there. You need to get out there. And not with the drugs. I'm saying I've been able to reap the benefits of what we've built recently, past 3 months or so. Mm-hmm. And you have yet to really do that. Are you looking forward to, I don't know, meeting someone, getting to do something?
Wait,
for once
what?
In your life?
Do you want him to cheat and do drugs?
No, he's not talking about girls. He's talking about just like people in general.
Right.
We had a conversation about this. Like he's been going around to these different events and like having fun. I really haven't done
I've just met so many awesome fucking people and I tell all of them. Like, you know, you
I'm winning. The
family in at the F1 event, like, bro, they're sick, yeah. and I just met awesome people, and every time I'm like, yo, like, you know, there's two of me. You're gonna meet this kid as well, and it's been cool. It's been cool to build those connections. Anything you're looking forward to? Like throwing a disc?
I want to go to like Dubai. I haven't been there yet. Been
well, we were just there.
I've heard it's like the sickest place.
Friend ours.
A lot of people that look like there. Voila.
Yeah, Dubai's awesome.
Dubai.
You know what? No, it's not, Jake.
Australia.
I'm sorry.
Australia I will
so much
stab
sorry.
You where you sit, brother.
I just don't think it is, man.
Bro, what?
It's just, it feels like a fucking, it feels like an, I've talked
so
about
do you,
this
before. Do you like New York?
Right now, Jake, because he'll back me even though we just had a disagreement on Dubai. Right now, I'm telling you, at this current moment, New York is the spot. Let me tell you why. New York and LA suffered immensely during the pandemic. Immensely. Everybody.
Still?
No. Everyone went to Miami, the whole world. Now the whole world is sick of Miami because they spent the whole pandemic there and they're starting to butterfly out. I am telling you, bro, back me up on this. New York is the spot.
Look,
right
I think I may have met my wife in New York.
Legit. All right, forget the wife part.
I hear this every week.
I think I met my wife at the
you ruined my
Miami.
I really like her.
I really like her. She likes me for 5 minutes.
I really like her.
You're going to be that dude with six wives. 100%, bro. This
What's
was
the problem with that, dude?
I'm going to say divorced, by the way. Not like all together.
Six divorced wives from each other? Am I involved?
Six different wives.
Are they wives to each other or am I involved at all?
No, I mean, I see what you're doing.
You know, like.
Ex-wives. You're still not involved.
Jake, the thing that it is what they always said it would be.
I agree
with that. Your tongue works
way
faster than your brain, huh?
It's a nutty day for me. It's bad.
Jake, you know this lyric by Drake?
Probably.
Who knows where I end up when that shit gets old? Maybe it never gets old and that's just how it goes.
Yeah.
On Do Not Disturb.
Yeah.
What if it just... I'll use Logan for an example. What if it just never gets old? What if he just keeps cranking, dude?
Oh, man. We interrupt this programming with a message from our sponsors. It's me. Come to my fight on Saturday. If you are in Tampa Bay, the tickets are already sold out. But if you can get them at a secondhand seller or watch it on pay-per-view this Saturday, December 18th.
I'll be watching.
I've always been a big proponent of condoms. I have.
No, you haven't.
I recently have.
I've literally heard you rant about how you don't.
I've never heard a man say, I love condoms.
No, a proponent doesn't mean that love, but Jake's right. Actually, I used to have a saying that I didn't know what they actually were, that I'd heard of the word. But lately I've been crushing it. I have been crushing
it. I wouldn't consider that advice. I'd say it's a joke.
It's a statement, yeah.
It's terrible.
Terrible jokes. Is Mike's condom joke worse than a racist joke in your opinion?
No, I don't know.
So it's not that terrible.
I think it's just he's an influencer, and so I think
he's a micro influencer.
Yeah,
nah, he's an influencer, bro.
You really are now, huh? Nah, you're mid.
No, he's an influencer.
You're macro. You're A-list.
The book really was the thing that did it. I have a book.
No, he's an influencer.
I know he's an influencer.
And so it's just bad to probably say that.
No,
he's an influencer under the influence.
But I also
who am I to fucking say that? I say a bunch of stupid shit, so fuck me. Your socks say it. Fuck off.
Do you overdue for a controversy? You're going to get on that soon?
I think, bro, yeah, what the fuck? I mean, typically,
genuine.
What the fuck?
Yeah, what the
why'd
fuck?
You answer
Where's
that?
There so, been a controversy?
Yeah, but why you answer
no,
that
it's
so serious?
Weird. I feel
you
like
feel uncomfortable.
No, because yeah, like there always is one, right? Like I'm definitely due for a controversy.
It's just hard to pin one on you right now.
No, bro, I have some theories. I'm gonna whisper so no one hears me. Every time, like a fight week comes around. There's always like someone trying to do something during the fight week to derail it. And I think there's money involved and people are paying people to fuck with me and my brand on fight week.
At what point
I'm gonna get to the bottom of it. But
dude, I feel
I'm just putting it out there. When you see some shit come out on any fight week or any time I'm doing something important, oh, maybe people are running out of fucking shit to accuse me of. And now at this point, they're just like doing anything they fucking possibly can to claw on and to make some shit up.
The second week.
Do you smell that? And have you been smelling it?
No, I don't. Is he farting his pants?
My skin could melt.
Ugh.
It's that bad.
Oh, that's bad. I just got a real bad.
The dog is farting. Yeah, I think I smell it too.
At what point do these people not realize that their stories propel ticket sales? At what point do I have a theory where I ask you how much you're paying them to write articles to market your fights?
Yeah.
Like, oh my God, this guy that did this, there's a chance he might get knocked out this week. Maybe I'll buy the fight. You know, like, what? You know what they used to say? What is it?
There's good no press. There's
bad press.
No, there is bad press. There is bad press if you're a bad person. And I, fucking Jake Paul, am a great fucking person.
Let's go.
Say swear.
Say swear to God. Say Walla.
Say swear.
I swear to God.
Put it on your mama. Put it on Pam. Say on God.
On God.
Okay, well,
God's like,
I didn't consider.
Try arguing that one. Me and my mom.
No, but dead ass. There's bad press. There's bad press if you're a bad person.
Jake Paul, here's the headline. Here's the quote. Jake Paul, I'm a good person, comma, dead ass.
On God. Jake Paul,
on God. On me, on my mama.
Bet.
I'm a good person.
Bet.
On God.
On God, I swear.
Bet.
I believe you. I've seen you box those bullies.
How's that going? That was another awesome thing that you did with boxing. But I still don't like the way that you put the two O's instead of the U in bullies.
What if these bullies get in?
You've always called it boxing bullies.
I have a slight speech impediment.
So now you're a bully.
Am I a bully now because I said that?
No, it's fine.
Why didn't Tommy show up to the press conference?
Yeah. People say... I mean, he said it was because of his mom being sick. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I call BS on that. I think he went to Vegas, started training with Sugar Hill, and didn't like the way he was coaching, but didn't want to tell him that, and then came up with some excuse to leave Vegas to go back to the UK so that he could train with his dad and his brother.
You think Tommy's the type of guy to put a ruler under his pillow to see how long he slept?
I think Tommy's the type of guy to throw rocks at the ground and miss.
You know, I was on a flight with Tommy recently. Clapped when the plane landed.
What?
Clapped when the plane landed.
Were you on Spirit Airlines?
Frontier.
Then it wasn't Tommy.
I was on that flight, by the way.
What?
It was the only flight out.
You were on the same flight as Tommy.
Yeah, yeah, it was the only flight out. So when you said that tweet, I was like, God bless. I hope there's nobody that saw me on that plane.
You flew Spirit.
Yeah.
Yeah, bro. I mean, I had to. It was the only way out.
I'll stay.
Yeah, I'm
not leaving. I'll stay in Vegas.
You talked to him on the flight?
No, he was sitting down talking to somebody.
He was talking to my other friend.
Who?
I don't want to say his name.
Anyway, I shook his hand. I said hi. I go, hey, man, good luck.
Oh, that's nice of you.
I'm not fighting him. I mean, no, dude, no. If I had to sit there and cross off my list on every person that you guys got in a fight with, I wouldn't have friends besides Michael, and he's barely on the roster.
Dude, you know what was fun?
I've gotten into a fight with him.
He's barely on the roster.
You know what was fun? That we do here that's fun, that I just got involved in? Y'all do fight nights.
Yeah.
That's right.
What do you call them? Paul Brawls? Team Paul, Team Brawl?
Oh, Team Paul, Team Brawl. Yeah. Where we have our team members fight each other.
We have members of our team strap up.
At their will.
They want to do it. It's all consensual.
That's how you know it's 2021.
No, please. Well, they want to be fighting, trust me.
You start talking about a couple men strapping up.
I like the way you smile.
Better be consensual.
But yeah, we had Kevin, who's gone from videographer to now he's manning the podcast angle switches. So if they're either very good or very bad, it's Kevin's fault.
Kevin.
But we had Kevin yesterday fight your assistant Marcos, which was pretty fun.
It was entertaining. You got to keep things spicy here.
I mean, let's talk about it a little bit.
Two rounds, two rounds in the 140-pound weight division.
Class. Yeah.
Both of their like first spars.
That was Marco's first spar?
It was like his second.
Why was he so confident? He was taunting Kevin. Kevin was asleep. I called the fight. I was like, my fighter's sleeping. You know, I'm the agent. And I was like, my fighter's sleeping. You know, and Marcos is like, he's gonna be sleeping. And I was like, whoa, whoa.
What the fuck?
Oh my God.
He starts talking shit to you. He's like,
no. I was talking shit. I was like, bro, like focus on, you know, getting your ass kicked by my boy who showed up in a big way. I mean, Kevin whooped him.
I wouldn't say that. I would say Kevin had a better jab and had just better natural movement.
It wasn't
like completely one-sided. He won both rounds, but it wasn't like a ass whooping, no.
Kev, do you concur with that?
Did you hear that laugh?
How many times has he sparred?
Once before with Caleb.
Yeah, so it's like the same. So they both went in there. Yeah. I think it's just like some people are natural fighters, and Kevin is literally just has natural movement and a natural fucking jab. He's good.
Isn't it crazy what having a fight will do for like your confidence levels? I know you guys can relate to this, but he came out of that last night. I was napping. I didn't get to see the Paul brawl, but when I woke up, I came in and I went up to him. I was like, "What's up, Kev?" He's like, "What does it fucking matter, bro?" And I was like, whoa. Dude.
Yeah, yeah. He tried to hit me out there.
And you know,
I think this has been a...
He's got a girl in there.
I think this has been a...
A girl flew in.
Right now?
Yes, a girl flew in after she found out
Kev,
he won the fight.
Kev, be honest with me. Has she switched an angle once in this podcast?
No. He got a girl in the booth with him. He won the fight and a girl immediately flew in from Guadalajara, dude.
Yeah, but I think he sort of had a... attitude problem this whole week because someone from my team was like over in your driveway and he comes like coming up on a golf cart and he goes, hey, who the fuck are you?
Well, he's in fight camp. He's in camp. He's all riled up.
Jeez, Kevin.
Yeah. But it's just like a guy.
Random guy.
Kevin's cute, bro. Like, he's cute. Like, look at his dimples, bro. When he smiles, it's not intimidating.
Yo, why don't you suck his dick?
This is the second time you've asked me to suck a man's dick.
Oh, no, I'm not asking shit. It's a suggestion.
I don't like how you answered for him.
It's whatever. Always has been.
Always will be. Dun, dun, dun. Whisper something.
I got nothing. This bitch got me paid a rent. Diamonds on her wrist. Diamonds on her neck. Diamonds on her wrist. Diamonds on her neck.
Hey.
This bitch got me
on the set of Impulsive, going off and we do it big every single
Mama.
Day. You know what's up, bro. I'm with my Logie, bro. We getting hella dope.
Paul
we
Brothers.
Fucking hella hoes. No, I'm not. I'm in a relationship. I'm a loyal ass man, and I didn't say that shit.
When you rap yourself out, I got four bitches at the crib. Nah, I mean, they're for my friends.
Julie, I'm sorry.
You broke the rules.
It was just
an asshole.
I was rapping as if I was someone else.
Wouldn't be the first time you've said some things in a freestyle.
Oh, PR team said nope.
That probably won't make the cut.
Change it with music.
Just cut that out.
Back to the
mama.
Hey,
keep it going.
Hey.
Put the beat back on, producer.
Can I freestyle?
Can I? Oh, you want to try?
Fuck. All right,
it's been a while. You're in boxing mode.
Yeah. Here, I'll lead you and go.
Okay. Are you dropping a beat?
No.
How many figures I'm worth? Eight. I keep a mill in my driveway. Don't just score me in first place. How many on worst day? We make it more on our worst day. Body and all on the first. Eight. Yeah, you know my name is Jake. Yeah, you just want to play and skate every day. You know what the fuck I say. Boss in the sauce. Rick Ross in the floor. Wing stop in the ball. People turn it to the top.
He doesn't even have to say words. Fire, bro.
Dude, at one point he was looking at me like he was a rabid dog.
That was as good as the Tory Lanez.
Let me try again.
Okay, hold on. I need some water over here.
Yeah, yeah. We should freestyle until one of these sounds gets clipped and goes viral on TikTok. That happens.
Bet, I got it.
So we might be here a while. Are you going?
Yeah.
You want like a fade down?
Ooh. Oh, damn, you should have gave me that one.
Hey.
Oh, you want James Bond?
No. What's your George?
Just go back to the other one.
You could get famous on TikTok with these skills, George. I didn't know you had it. Jesus. Okay. Yeah. I pay to play, pay to earn. Got my grandma in a yearn.
Yeah.
In a urn. She's yearning. She's earning. She's yielding tokens. She collects cryptocurrency and she's open.
Open.
Has an open house. She's for sale.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. She uses post mail, not email, because she's old. Mm. She's way old. She's my grandma.
Older than a rock.
Different generation.
Yeah.
Older than a sock.
It's generational.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's generational.
Jack, we got that. Can we cut that?
I'm pretty sure you said she was dead.
She was dead, so that's why she doesn't collect cryptocurrency.
Break it down.
Because she's in an urn.
She doesn't collect cryptocurrency because she's in an urn earning no currency because she's no longer here. And that's great because she had a good life and we acknowledge her.
That was fire, dude. Like, I got goosebumps. Check a look.
That was,
Just that.
We should probably.
Why do you shave your arm?
Well, no, you're not going to leave me out.
Okay.
Because I get paid millions of dollars.
Producer, give me the beat.
Gillette does. What?
Why do you shave your arms?
Manscaped doesn't pay big bucks for a man.
Producer, give me the beat.
No, wait, hold on.
Oh, you
why do you shave your arms?
Why do you shave your arms?
Why do I shave my arms?
Swimmer. I want to know that.
Growing up, I just always shaved my arms because I got made fun of. And so I just kept doing it.
I'm sorry, you got made fun of for what exactly?
I was a very hairy guy.
So you got made, because I'm more inclined to make fun of you because you shave your arms.
Oh yeah, so that happened in the eighth grade.
I think just as the founder of Boxing Bullies, I don't think we should be making fun of anybody on this year. Unless they're your friend and you love them to the end, and every single day that you compliment them, and it's gonna be great. We're all nice.
Did you write The Rock's rap? That was fucking amazing.
It's about courage. It's about power.
Yeah. All right. I actually thought it was ass.
Here I go.
It's terrible. Yeah.
It was horrible.
Yeah.
But why do people love it so much?
No one loves it.
It's The Rock.
Is everyone making fun of it?
Yes.
So I'm the joke.
No, I thought everyone loved it. No.
Stop for 1 second.
Got it.
So do people actually like the song?
Dwayne The Rock Johnson song.
I think people actually like it.
I think people like the song because it's like Tech N9ne song. Dwayne's a feature. But I think it's like universally accepted that his feature was garbage. It's trash.
I think it was.
But I agree. But I think people like it.
What?
I'm confused.
I like it because it's like it's like memeable.
It's a
like,
meme.
It's
now.
Enjoyable. It's like it's about what does he say? It's about drive.
It's about power.
We devour. And take what's ours.
And when he says it, it's
kind of like an everyday bro.
Yes.
It's kind of like an everyday bro.
Yes.
Like you don't want to like it, but you're kind of like
it's about courage. It's about strength. It's about power. It's about we devour.
Yeah, we weren't going to talk shit about music.
Wait, what do you, bro?
Yeah, I'm a platinum producer, actually.
I'm
a platinum producer and a multi-platinum artist and a 22 city selling out touring artist.
What can't you do? It's got to be something.
Look at the dick on this guy.
Would it be freestyle?
Look at the dick on you, man.
There's a lot of things I can't do. One of them is skateboard.
Really?
What?
Not
can't
the next,
his calves
not the next
big.
Nigel Houston. Nigel Houston
can't
has huge calves.
Do it.
Massive calves.
I'm too
buttery.
Can't do it. That's about it, though, to be honest. Literally the only thing that I can't
what
do
about
is
dance?
Skateboard.
He could dance.
He was in the dance movie.
He was on the dance team.
What about Reed Braille?
Have you ever heard of Lance Camp?
Yeah, Lance Armstrong.
Can I just want to say my rap?
I just want to say, you know, on this episode, I've been like a little, I've just been a little cocky and like braggadocious and I've sort of had like a high self-esteem more than usual on this podcast. And I just want to say that I'm sorry for not fucking doing that more because I am the shit.
Let's go.
Thank you.
You're searching for that.
You misdirected me, bro.
Oh my God. This fucking kid.
He's so cute right now. Look at him. His face is so,
So you're telling me you're a winless fighter. You're gonna knock out one of the best heavyweights of all time.
Yeah. We gotta go.
Wait, no, please.
But seriously, right. But seriously, right. I'll try to be more humble next time.
All right, all right. Yo. My boy's fighting Fury. Knocked him in a hurry. Hitting all shots like his name was Steph Curry. Ooh, I predict whoopee. A fall like my name's Michael Burry. Ooh. My man shaves his arms. His mans makes chicken palms. Ooh. Took him to the dance, made him prance, made him glance. Said, yo, is that Jake Paul knocking motherfuckers out with all that clout, all that money, and quick shout? Say, yeah.
Shout out, 25 grand. Put the ham in my hand.
Wrap it up. Couple bands. It's over.
Yo, one time I was in this alleyway, and this dude asked me to kiss, so I did it, and he grabbed my cheeks. I didn't give a fuck about a shit, but then we went home and started...
I like that one.
What?
That was
I was the guy. Caught me by surprise. I was like, open my eyes. Oh my god.
Yeah. Thank you guys for listening to this episode of Impulsive. If you want to follow Jake on Instagram, it's @LoganPaul. We love you. See you next time. Take it easy. Bye.